Good day, brothers and sisters, and welcome once again to the CMI School of Christ. And as you can tell, we have not had a class in about a month and a half to 2 months now. Basically, it was what you would call a technology upgrade. The broadcasting service that we use, they quit supporting our broadcaster. Our broadcasting software that we purchased through them. So we basically, in essence, were forced to purchase a new software. And then there was the learning curve on the new software. And then on top of that, there were some complications between getting the new software to work with the hardware, the current hardware that we had. So we had to buy adapters and then call tech support, being on the phone with tech support for hours. So anyway, that's the story on that. But thank the Lord, we're back to doing classes again. And excuse me, it's actually not an issue of doing classes or not. It is an issue of knowing Christ the Son. And these classes are geared and designed for that one end and purpose, that the Spirit of God could take everything that is communicated and use it to prepare the ground of our hearts, so that by the work of the Holy Spirit, our heart may turn unto Christ, the ever-present, eternal Son of God. So, that is that. And it's a good introduction to the class. So we're just going to continue on with our class, The Great Mercy of God. And the last class that we had, the previous class, we were talking about the patriarchs. We mentioned some things about the patriarchs. But for a while, I had been wanting to touch on El Shaddai again. Just to kind of look at some verses in the scriptures where the term El Shaddai appears. But before we do, I did want to do this. I received an email, a question from a sister in Costa Rica, Rita, concerning the person and relationship with Christ, concerning the person of Christ and our relationship with Him. And I can't remember if I've been touching on this in my English classes, because it's been about a month and a half to 2 months. But I was mentioning how that we do not, our to-do is not with a message. Our to-do is not with a doctrine. Our to-do is not with a teaching or a deeper life message or a theology. Our to-do is with a person. And at several times I've given the example of myself and my wife, and just mentioning how that her reaction or automatic response would be if, after we were married, I would show her a picture and said, "Okay, I've got the picture. I'll see you later." And so I've used that as an example. And several times, and just mentioning how that we have relationship with a person who is Christ, the Son of the living God. We do not have relationship, listen, we do not have relationship with a teaching. We do not have relationship with a message. We do not have a relationship with a deeper life message. We do not have relationship with a theology, and we certainly do not have relationship with a doctrine. Okay, we have relationship with a person. And so, based on just sharing along those lines, this sister, she basically sent me an email and asking, is it our concept or knowledge of the person of Christ and our relationship with Him? Is it our concept, our knowledge of the person of Christ and our relationship with Him, based upon the natural mind of man, like our natural relationships with one another? Or is it the knowledge of God whereby we alone must, or is it the knowledge of God whereby He alone must and can make known, reveal the person of Christ and our relationship with Him? It's basically what her question was, and I'll just go ahead and read her question right here. And forgive me, I'm translating it real quick from Spanish to English. I've heard you always say that we do not have relationship with a message, a doctrine, or a teaching, but that it is with a person. But our concept of a person is of a being with eyes, feet, hands that talks. Well, you know what I'm saying. Basically, our concept of a person is what we see with our natural eye, understand with our natural mind. It goes on, like all of us, you know. Is that the concept of the person to which you refer? Could you explain to us or to me a little more clearly concerning this? And then I want to read my response, and it is in Spanish. Concerning our relationship with the person, Christ Himself, the Lord is very merciful. There's many times I give the example of our relationships with others versus trying to have a relationship with inanimate objects, messages, doctrines, teachings, etc. But I know that the Lord Himself has spoken to me through your question. And I'm thankful unto the Lord. And I'm thankful to you as well, sister. Truly, the knowledge of Christ is more excellent than all, more excellent than everything. Let me explain. I never experienced a father in the natural. My father and mother, my parents, were divorced when I was 4 years old. I never knew a father. For several years, even as a child, before I was born again, I would cry unto the Lord, even after I was born again, that He would bring my father back so I could know the relationship of a father. To have what I considered a complete family, a normal family, etc. In His mercy, about 5 years ago or less, somewhere around there, the Lord put the following passage on my heart. It's John chapter 14. Now let's just go ahead and go there. It's easier to read the passages. John chapter 14, verse 5 through 9. And I've shared this before, but just in context of this question that I was sent. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? I've been here all along. Have you not known me? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how do you say then, show us the Father? If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. If you have known me, you have known the Father. This is Jesus' response. All right? And then I go on with my response with the email. Truly, the cry of our hearts is not to know a natural father, but our heavenly father. And truly, to know God our Father, we have to know Christ his Son. In like manner, if we know, or just the same, or verses, if we know a father in the natural, a natural father, and we try to compare him with our heavenly Father, that is to say, like our heavenly Father, or to say, this is how our heavenly Father is like, this is what our heavenly Father is like, then we dishonor our heavenly Father. Because man is nothing like God. The best person, the greatest person, is nothing like God, cannot compare unto God. We make an idol in our own imagination. Maybe it is a very good idol, but it is nothing more than an idol, and it is not true. It is not a true image. We cannot compare our relationships with others, not even our relationships with our family or our spouse, with our relationship with God. All of our relationships, including the best ones, still remain short. No one is as our God. No one is like our God. Truly, to know the person of Christ, the Son, God, the Father, must reveal him. Excellent question, and I thank the Lord for the response. I was speaking to my wife the other day and just kind of sharing with her this email and my response, and I even told her this: for us to truly know a Father, we must know Christ. And then I said this: to truly know our spouse, we must know Christ. Now, let me say it this way. To truly know the relationship of a father, we must know Christ. To truly know the relationship of a spouse, we must know Christ. And ultimately, brothers and sisters, to truly know anything, we must know Christ. I don't know if that sunk in yet, but when it does, it'll be like an explosion in our carnal minds. All right. So, excuse me. Going on. But I just wanted to share that because, I mean, that's the first thing we do. We think we have power. We think that our hearts are always directed unto Christ, unto God, when they are not. And we deceive ourselves because we think something of ourselves. We think we have some ability. We think there is some good in and of ourselves. We think that there is some good in our flesh. And yet there were many who confessed, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing at all. No good thing at all. But somehow we still look at our own ability and think and believe and are convinced that we are able. And I think it might have been one of our previous classes, or yes, definitely one of our previous classes. Here's the Lord speaking to Abraham. There's Abram at the time, concerning a seed, an heir, and his inheritance. And the whole time the Lord is declaring, listen, the whole time the Lord is declaring his very own son, the Lord Jesus Christ, Abram is looking at Ishmael. Abram is considering Ishmael with his natural mind. It's true, because he goes on to say, oh, that Ishmael would live before you, would live before your face, would live before your presence, would live in your purpose. That's what we do. Even when I'll give my own example. And I'm glad this sister emailed me. And by the way, if you want to email me or send me a question, comments, I'll take them all. You can contact me. You can contact me at contact@crossidenet.com. Did you get that? Real simple. You can contact me at the email contact@crossidenet.com. So just go to the, you can go to my website and go to the contact form, and it'll go to the same spot. When the Lord was putting on my heart to begin to share that our relationship, that our to-do is not with a doctrine or a teaching, but with a person, I began to give this example of my relationship with my wife. And see, here's the Lord declaring to my own heart and speaking, it's about a relationship with a person. And what I immediately was gravitated to was a person in the natural, a natural relationship that I can understand with my natural mind. Just like Abram, the Lord is declaring his son, and we have something, listen, less than his son in view. When we are knowing our relationship that we have been brought into with Christ, with God in Christ, by the Spirit of God, by God the Father's very own knowledge, and brothers and sisters, that will automatically affect every relationship we have. And every relationship we have will automatically be fruitful, be with purpose. Please do not misunderstand. Do not get upset. I'll just say it this way, serving the eternal purpose of God. Our relationships have purpose, brothers and sisters. They do. They do. Listen. Don't get mad when I say this. Everything that God does, that God allows, that God permits, is designed of God with one end, one goal, one purpose in view, to direct our hearts unto Christ his Son. So our relationships, there is purpose to every relationship we have. When we are knowing our relationship with Christ the Son, automatically our other relationships will be blessed in such knowledge, by such knowledge. It won't be our knowledge, it will be the knowledge of God. Remember, not I, but God. So, I want to just go ahead. Oh, yeah. Yeah, look at that. We always, just now in my notes, we always have the natural in view. Relationships, natural marriage, etc., natural father, etc., we always have that in view. And we think we have some ability whatsoever. And in essence, I've said this before, in essence, we believe we are El Shaddai. We believe, we think we have power, we have ability. But brothers and sisters, man is powerless. No ability, no power whatsoever. Man is not God. This is John chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was the life, and the life was the light of men. This is El Shaddai. This is declaring Christ Himself, El Shaddai, the all-powerful, almighty, all-able, all-capable God. Once again, man has no power, but we think we do. Listen to this. You who have not been following along with these classes, or you who just showed up for this class, listen to this. Man has no power, not even to be born in the natural. What did you do to be birthed? Did you decide someday, oh, I think I will be born into this natural world? No. No. Man's natural birth was by the ability, the power of another. And oh, here we go again. Instantly we think our parents. No. Man's natural birth was by the ability, the power of another, even God. But why do we think our parents? Because man always, underline that, capitalize it, all caps, man always has something less than Christ in view. Man always considers something less than Christ in view. The full attention of the heart of man is always directed unto something less than Christ. Something that can be seen with the natural eye, possibly heard with the natural ears, touched with the natural feeling of touch, and understood by the natural mind. We could even add the sense of smell. They could be smelled with a natural sense of smell. But it is all understood with a natural mind. Man's natural birth was by the ability, the power of another, even God. Man's spiritual birth, man's new birth, being born again, was by the ability, the power of another, even God as well. Now we can believe that. Oh yes, well, I'm born again because God decided I'd be born again. In God's mercy, I was born again. But in our minds, in our natural minds, we say, yeah, but, you know, my parents, they had me. I want us to read a few passages here. This is Genesis chapter 16, verses 1 through 2. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. We've already covered this passage. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, listen to this. Sarai has some understanding here. Behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. The power to bear offspring, the power to bear fruit, is of the Lord, El Shaddai. Then she goes on, of course, but we can do it. We can give it the old college try. Sorry, that's terrible. We can we can do this. Or, yeah, we can do this and God can help. Or, we can flat out do this for the glory of God. We know her response. I pray thee, go into my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened unto the voice of Sarai. All right. Next one. Genesis chapter 25, verses 19 through 23. And these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac. Verse 20, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel and Syrian of Paddan Aram, the sister to Laban the Syrian. And Isaac, verse 21, and Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And then it goes on. And oh, yes, it does go on. And the children struggled together. I love this. Isaac entreated the Lord. And then it goes on, verse 22. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. What a beautiful relationship is found here. Here is the head of the household coming before God Almighty. And here is his spouse under the same authority, under the same government, her heart submitted to that which governs the house, she as well inquires of the Lord. Oh, this is awesome. This is what I was talking about earlier. When by the Spirit of God, the work of God the Father, we are knowing our relationship with Christ, then every other relationship we have will be blessed in the same knowledge, in such knowledge, the knowledge of God. And hearts will be directed unto Christ, the Son of the living God. And hearts will serve the purpose of the Lord in their generation. All right, this is Genesis chapter 30, verses 1 through 5. And when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, she said to her husband, give me children or else I die. Do this. Verse 2, and Jacob's anger was kindled against Rebekah, and he said, I mean, of course, he loved her, but I don't think he got so upset, like flying off the handle. No, 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 no. Listen to his response. And he said, am I in God's stead? Who, the one who hath withheld thee from the fruit of the womb? Am I El Shaddai? Do I take the place of the Almighty, Omnipotent, El Shaddai? God forbid. Three passages that we just looked at were the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Israel. Each one of them knew the Almighty. In relation to seed, fruit, son, air. They knew that it is all dependent upon the Lord, the Almighty El Shaddai. So once again, man's natural birth was by the ability, the power of another, even God. I know that may upset some who are not born again, and it may upset some who are born again, but ultimately, brothers and sisters, Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. With man, it is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. All right, so with what little time we have left, I just wanted to touch on the passages, and what I did, once again, all I did was look at Genesis chapter 17, verse 1 through 4, and I looked at the term Almighty, El Shaddai, which is Strong's number 7706. Shaddai? And I did a Strong's numbers search, and these are the first six matches that show up in Genesis. Yep. And I just wanted to touch a little bit. Read them, give a few comments on them. All right, the first one, of course, is the very first mention, which shows up in Genesis chapter 17. And it lays out the context for El Shaddai. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Verse 2, and I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. Covenant, specifically God's covenant, and fruitfulness. Now, we've looked at this other passage before, and I just added it in here, and it doesn't have the term El Shaddai in there, Strong's number 7706. It's not in there, but by the context, this is basically what's being declared. In Genesis chapter 18, verses 11 through 14, now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child, which am old? Is anything, here we go, verse 14, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Is anything too hard for the Lord El Shaddai, the all-powerful, almighty, omnipotent? With man, it is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. The next passage where the term El Shaddai shows up is Genesis chapter 28, verses 1 through 4. And this is Isaac speaking to Jacob. I love this. And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Paddan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. Verse 3, and God Almighty bless thee and make thee fruitful, and multiply thee, that thou may beest a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. Here is a father declaring El Shaddai unto his son. You can say, passing on the knowledge that his very own heart is submitted unto, that his son's heart may be submitted unto as well. How is it that Isaac could do this? Because at some point in time, Abraham did just the same with Isaac. Abraham trained up his son Isaac in the way he should go. And Isaac, when he was older, did not depart from it. Brothers and sisters, we all know the way. The same who is the truth, the same who is the life, Christ himself. That was Isaac to Jacob. Now, the next mention of El Shaddai. This is Genesis chapter 35, verses 9 through 12. And God appeared unto Jacob again. I love that. God appeared unto Jacob again. Again. This thy seeing me, and thy seeing me from this moment onward. When he had come from Paddan Aram, and blessed him, and God said unto him, thy name is Jacob, thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name, and he called his name Israel. Verse 11, and God said unto him, I am God Almighty, I am El Shaddai. Remember Isaac testifying of El Shaddai unto his son Jacob? Now, that testimony has worked its perfect work in the heart of Jacob, so much so that by the Spirit of the living God, the heart of Jacob has turned unto the Lord, and the Lord hath appeared, and he says unto him, I am God Almighty, the one your father declared. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come of thy loins, come out of thy loins, and the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac to thee will I give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land. This next passage is Genesis chapter 43. This is beautiful. And their father, Israel, said unto them, this is Israel speaking to his sons, all of his sons, if it must be so now, do this, take of the best fruits of the land, this is the time during the famine. This is the context is Israel, Joseph, and Benjamin. Remember, Benjamin, they left in Egypt because Joseph said, leave him and you go. And now they are hungry again, and Israel says, okay, go back. Or excuse me, not Simeon was left, I think. Gosh, I can't remember. I think it was Simeon who was left. Forgive me. And so finally, Israel says, okay, take Benjamin with you. And that's what he ends up saying right here. If it must be so now, do this. Take of the best fruits of the land in your vessels and carry down the man a present, Joseph, who they knew not. A little balm and a little honey, spices and myrrh, nuts and almonds, and take double money in your hand, and the money that was brought again in the mouth of your sacks. Carry it again in your hand. Peradventure, it was an oversight. Take also your brother and arise, go again unto the man. Verse 14, and God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may send away your other brother and Benjamin. If I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. And God Almighty give you mercy before the man, because ultimately the final say is the Almighty's. The final say is of the Almighty. Israel, by this point, knew, listen, you've heard the phrase, you've heard it said, God is in control, not man. He knew this, his heart was submitted unto that which governs the house of God, unto that which governs the creation of God. And he conveys the same unto his children, declaring the Almighty unto them. This is Genesis chapter 48, verses 1 through 4. This is Jacob speaking to Joseph. Once again, a father speaking now directly, more specifically, to a son. And it came to pass after these things that one told Joseph, behold, thy father is sick, and he took with him, and Joseph took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And one told Jacob and said, behold, thy son Joseph cometh unto thee. And Israel strengthened himself and sat upon the bed. And Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty, I love this, verse 3, and Jacob said unto Joseph, a father speaking to his son, a father testifying of the Almighty to his son, and Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan, and blessed me, and said unto me, behold, I will make thee fruitful, and multiply thee, and I will make of thee a multitude of people, and I will give this land to thee, and I will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. A father testifying of the Almighty unto his son. It's beautiful. I'll just go ahead and say it. This is the heritage that we have, brothers and sisters. The Lord Himself. This is our heritage to be passed down from generation to generation, declaring the ever-present, ever-living, the eternal, almighty, omnipotent, El Shaddai. Not I, but Christ. This is the last passage in Genesis where the term El Shaddai is found. This is Genesis chapter 49, let's look at verse 22 through 26. This is Jacob blesses Joseph. Joseph, because Jacob was basically, I think he's on his deathbed and he's blessing all his 12 children. And when he comes to Joseph, he says this, Joseph is a fruitful bow, even a fruitful bow by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him, but his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Even, verse 25, now he defines the mighty God of Jacob. He defines him even by the God of thy father, God of thy father, who shall help thee, and by the Almighty who shall bless thee with the blessings of heaven above. Blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breasts and of the womb. The blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him that was separated from his brethren. Here is Jacob blessing Joseph, declaring the blessing of El Shaddai unto his son, and so much more than that, declaring the eternal Son himself. Because, brothers and sisters, ultimately, when the fathers testify of El Shaddai to their children, they are declaring the eternal Son of the living God, Christ Jesus himself. So please present all this to the Spirit of God. May the Spirit of God take it, use it, continue to prepare the ground of our heart that God would do that which he desires to do, his will, and to do in us. So, just a quick announcement. We will not be having a class this coming week. It's going to be family visiting, and that's why this class is going up a little bit early, but that's all right. I'm just thankful that, I'm thankful that the Lord is faithful, brothers and sisters. El Shaddai is faithful, not man, not man. I'm thankful to the Lord that he is faithful, that he is ever merciful unto us. So our next class may be in a week, maybe in 2 weeks. I'm not sure. We're starting to get ready for our CMI June summer conference. So maybe 1 week, maybe 2 weeks, I'm not sure. But anyway, as I stated, please present all this to the Lord, that the Spirit of God would take it and use it for his very own end, his very own purpose. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you. We'll see you in our next class. Amen.